I wonder how many of them will have a faith that sticks once they graduate from high school. A couple of researchers coined the phrase sticky faith to describe our vision and dream for our children and grandchildren as we raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray that their faith will stick once they're out on their own. And yet we see so many times that it has not. Jesus actually predicted that this would be the case in the lives of many of his people. In the parable of the sower, he describes times when the seed of his word that's been sown into the hearts of his people, they get sort of etched out and extinguished by what he describes as life's worries, riches, and pleasures. So consumed with life's worries, there are a lot of them. Life's riches, and there are a lot of them. And life's pleasures, there's a lot of them. The seed of the Word of God just grows lifeless inside of us because we stop pursuing God's Word and God's presence and replace God with life's worries, life's riches, and life's pleasures. In our first memory verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where we are warned days of trouble are coming, the particular days of trouble the writer has in mind are those days of trouble that come with aging. In the rest of the first half of chapter 12, he describes some of the challenges that come with aging. Eyesight dims and hearing wanes. He pictures a person stooped over. I think about that verse every time I get out of my recliner. My girls watch me and I go, oh, you know, and it takes me a while to stand up because of some of my lower back issues. But days of trouble come long before we reach our retirement years. There are plenty of them awaiting our children as they transition into life as young adults. And what we know as followers of Jesus Christ is that if their lives are not founded upon the rock that is Jesus Christ, when those challenges, those storms, and those floods come, their lives will collapse into utter ruin. No life can withstand the storms of life, Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, unless that life is built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ himself. Now, it's your job, and it's my job as a part of the body of Christ, to play a role in God's plan for saving the world by investing love and mentoring and time and resources into the lives of young people so that they can be prepared for the future. What someone did for us when we were young is what we are now to do for others when they are young. And there's just so many valuable lessons that I know many of you or all of you have learned in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ that needs to be poured into the younger generations. And we're looking in our church at ways in which we can facilitate that to happen. But there's just one basic lesson from our first memory verse, remember our Creator, that needs to be at the core of all that we do as a church. I learned this lesson again driving some of our local roads this past month because a similar situation happened three times in the matter of a couple of weeks. And the first time it happened, as I looked at the motorist, I just thought to myself, really? That's what you're going to do? The second time it happened, similar situation, I thought to myself, oh, come on, man. You're going to do that? The third time it happened, as I got even with that motorist, not in a spirit of anger or revenge, but in a spirit of encouragement and teaching, I got even with the person and I bumped my horn as to say, what you just did is not okay. Don't think that that was okay. And here's the parallel and similarity to all three situations. A person is in a left lane. In the first case, they wanted to get into the left turning lane, but it was already full, so they just stopped right where they were. Was just going to sit there until the light eventually turned red and turned green again while 20 or 25 of us are behind that person. In the third situation, a person is just turned on to 707 from 17. I'm right behind her. She's in the left lane. She wants to go to the CVS, but she's got to cross the right lane to get into the right turning lane. And so she comes to a dead halt. I see the guy behind me barreling down because, you know, it's 45 miles an hour. There's no stop sign right there. And she just stops. Here's the similarity. In each case, a person was saying, at least how I interpreted it, I don't care about the rest of you. I don't care how inconvenienced you are. I want to get there. And I'm just going to wait here until I can get there. Now, the way a Christian should drive is very simply, right? When you've missed your turn, you take your medicine, you drive down, turn around, and then you get there. But in all three cases, I felt like the person was saying, it's all about me. It's not about any of you people. It is all about me. We need to remember our Creator in times like that and in all other times in our lives. It's foundational for our lives as followers of Jesus. Life is not about me. It's about God, and it's about loving my neighbors like God does. And we need to preach that message to our young people when they're driving, when they're going to college, when they're getting a job, when they're raising their family. They will not be prepared for all of these transitions unless they remember their Creator, that their lives are all about them. Now, parents, you should spend plenty of time reading to your little kids books like Goodnight Moon. I always loved that book. You should do basic math with your little kids, addition and subtraction. I love playing school with my little girl when she was just small and we did things like that. You should assign children chores at home so that they know it's not all about me and everybody just working around me. We do this together. We work in this home together. But parents, while doing all of that, should consider how much time they're also doing in the most basic, most important, and fundamental thing that a parent could do for a child. And that, according to Scripture, is bringing them up in the nurture and in the training of the Lord. So parents, you should also be having conversations with your kids about issues in life that are swirling all around you. Issues like racism and poverty and political turmoil, bullying at school. You should talk to your children about how a follower of Jesus navigates all of those kinds of situations to reflect Jesus in them. And you should treat attendance at church, in discipline, in Bible reading and prayer, the way you treat attendance at school, in faithfulness at band practice and baseball practice. That it's there and you've got to be there in order to do what you've committed to do. We can prepare our kids to do math and English and science, but that will fall short of preparing them for the days of trouble that are coming in their lives if we don't start first by training them to remember their God while they are young. And so we're going to now sing a couple of old hymns of mine that are my favorites. In this first one, Jim, as you make your way to the stage, we'll sing More About Jesus. May that be the cry of our heart, that we just want more Jesus, more of Jesus, and more about Jesus in our lives. Let's sing that together. So our second memory verse speaks directly to the aging process as we outwardly waste away. You know, I'm 50 years old now, and people who are 80 don't seem old to me anymore. I told my daughter the other day as we drove down the road and there was someone jogging on the road, an older individual. But the jogging was more like walking with just the attempt of like looking to jog. And I said, Liz, When I was younger, I used to make fun of people like that, but that's me now, you know, when I go jogging. So the aging process changes us, our perspective, as well as our bodies in a lot of different ways. But I want us to make sure that we understand what Paul is referring to when he says, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. What is that inwardly that he's referring to? Well, in another place, Ephesians chapter 3, in his prayer for the church at Ephesus, Paul prayed these words. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You've got an outer being and you've got an inner being. An inner being is your soul. And the Holy Spirit is doing work inside of your soul as the aging process is doing work on the outside of your body. What he's saying here is that while we get old externally in Christ, we get younger internally. And so we don't act our age, even when we're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. And by not acting our age, I do not mean that we go skydiving when we're 70 so we don't act like our age, or rock climbing when we're 90 so we don't act like our age. No, what Paul is saying is that we don't act our age because we're still in our Bibles. We're still volunteering in the name of the Lord. We're still serving and sacrificing in the name of the Lord. We don't go into retirement as Christians because we retired from our physical jobs. No, there's something supernatural happening inside of a Christian soul when he reaches those senior years. He's more alive, not less alive internally. She's younger, not older internally, because the Holy Spirit is renewing him or her every day. And so I've had this on my mind all year, and I've talked to some of you seniors through the year about this, but I wanted to bring up two of our seniors this morning so that I could kind of grill them on the idea, because they're a little older than me, of what this scripture is actually referring to. So if Gail and Sal will come and have their seats in the hot seat, as I like to call it, up here front, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And by the way, I will say this as a caveat. Just go ahead and have a seat right up there. Oh, the gentleman is waiting for the lady to get there. How nice, Sal. One caveat is usually I have like a pre-interview with people that I'm going to interview in public, so I kind of know where we're going. Didn't have time to do that because of the holiday season, so I don't know what they're about to say. Okay, so there you go, Miss Gail, if you will hold that. Okay, so I've got just three or four questions for you. And the first one is, because you guys are older than 60, right? Just want to make sure.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Maybe.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So you're in your senior years,
yes.
Retirement years. One thing I want to know is, give me one way in which the aging process has kind of challenged or tested you as a Christian. Miss Gail?
I definitely don't move as fast as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the body, the mind is willing, but the body just doesn't want to go.
Okay, so you've noticed some physical, just some physical mm-hmm. things you used to do that you can't do. Sal, what about you?
Well, for me, it's relationship.
How so?
The relationship with my family was strong, but the relationship with my God was not there.
Mm-hmm.
At 38, I got baptized at a Church of Christ
mm-hmm.
and dedicated my life to Christ. And since then, the blessings that he has given me has been amazing, even my senior years.
Okay, great. So that has prepared you. And so, yeah, I do want to ask you as a follow-up question. We'll start with you. How has following Christ helped you during your senior years of retirement and the challenges that come with it, physically and otherwise? Give me an example.
How about mentally?
Mental, okay.
I've always had a hard time remembering things, hard time high school and college, part-time memorizing Bible verse. Mm-hmm. But I spend a lot of time in his word. And his word for me right now is the strength that I need to serve him.
So just Bible reading is helping you. What about you, Gail?
Bible reading and my Bible study is each day draws me closer. Mm-hmm. And I find joy and encouragement and leadership in song and music.
Okay.
I just, every morning I try to put on my Christian music, and that's how I start my day.
Okay, great. Now, everybody may not know that you two are heavily invested in our children's ministry. In fact, I see you teaching classes just about every Sunday and Wednesday. Even on Wednesday, where most folks have given up on Wednesday night Bible study, you guys are here if their children here, you can be here for them to invest and encourage them and teach them. And so you haven't retired from service. And I guess I'm wanting to know why not.
Me first?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I love children, and they matter. And sometimes older people, kids are just a nuisance to them. They don't, they don't have time for them. They don't like their silliness. But kids matter. And they're at church tomorrow. And God hasn't put an expiration date on me yet. So as long as I'm going to be touching those children's hearts and teaching them if I can.
Great. What about you, Sal?
Well, for me, it's kids. Phyllis and I wanted a large family when we got married. We only had one biological son for health reasons, things like that. And then moving to Texas, we became foster parents. And we had 26 kids in 13 years in our homes, in and out. And then when I moved to Texas, I took our sons to Bible class. And in the back of my mind, I kept hearing this voice saying, "You want a large family, take care of my kids." So right then and there, I started going to Bible class, helping the children's minister teach Bible class. And I've been teaching kids ever since, and it fills my heart.
Wow. Well, we're glad that it does. One last question. This inward renewal day by day, in your experience, could you tell us what that feels like or looks like in your experience, Sal?
Well, if most of you know, I'm not a calm person. Sometimes I feel like I'm the Energizer Bunny. I go and go and go and don't stop. But at the end of the day, as I lay my head on the pillow, my body is sore. And the only thing I can think of is, how did I serve my Lord today? Am I sore because I wanted to be sore? Or am I sore because the inwardly of the words that I put in my mind helps feed my heart and my body? So I continue to serve the Lord by sharing my love for him with kids, hoping that that seed I plant is nurtured and fertilized by our awesome God.
What about you, Gail?
Each new day is another chance to talk to someone about Jesus, to encourage a child, to play with a child, just take time with them and lead them to Jesus. And to me, each day is a new chance to make a difference in someone's life. And if you don't do that, you're missing the boat. You've got to be out there touching people's hearts. Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's just an encouraging word, but you got to do it.
And that's where you find renewal. Thank you guys for sharing with us this morning. Thank you. Aging takes things from us, but the Holy Spirit at the same exact time pours things into us. And that's what our memory verse has been telling us all year. Someone said a long time ago, getting old isn't for sissies. You've heard that? But the Holy Spirit has an answer. And the Holy Spirit provides us with a power that's supernatural, that sees us through our latter years. Lamentations 3:23 puts it this way. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. I want to leave you this morning with those words in your heart. As we get older and transition from teens to 20s and 40s to 50s and 70s to 80s, there is one constant that we find in our lives every day, and that is the steadfast love of the Lord. That's what gives us hope. And that's why Paul writes first, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. But you will not experience that unless you put your hope in the Lord. There are teenagers who are not experiencing this hope. They're more concerned with grades than they are with God. There are those in their 20s who are not experiencing that hope. They are more concerned with relationships and with income than they are with their Creator. There are those in their 50s and 60s limping towards retirement because they are failing to experience the hope that is found in the steadfast love of the Lord. And there are those in their 70s, in their 80s, who think their life no longer has meaning. And they're thinking that because they've lost sight of the steadfast love of the Lord. It never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And if we will but just open up our souls and open up our eyes, we will wake up each day seeing that His mercies are new, not old, but new every morning until He calls us home. We're going to sing that song as we close this morning. If we can encourage you with hope in any way, with prayer, with counsel and encouragement, or if you're ready to be baptized in the Christ, we want to help you in any way. So if you'll meet me down front and tell me how, as together we stand and sing.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.